Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate show, everyone. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. If you celebrate Christmas, wonderful holiday season. I hope you weren't one of the many people, millions of people that were trapped, stranded with all of these crazy airline closures. And it would be great to get back to normal, hopefully in 2022. But I don't see any signs of that happening anytime soon. If you're new to the program on this channel, we aim to help you become a more intelligent real estate investor. And we talk about taxes, we talk about leverage, we talk about equity, we talk about internal rate of return, all of those things. And if you're new, great. This is a great place for you to start. We have a whole archive of videos and content for you to go back and check out. If you're more advanced, there is always something that you can pick up here on this show. This is our Q&A episode where we answer your questions. Very simple to do. If you would like to leave us a voicemail question, you can go to morrisinvest.com. And right there, there's a little microphone tab on the screen. Click that on the right side of the screen and leave us a 30-second voicemail question about anything real estate related, and we will attempt to answer it here on the show. So we've got three great questions today. Let's take it away from our very first one. I think it was Meredith. Meredith has a question. Let's listen in.
Hello, Clayton. This is Meredith in Kansas. My husband and I got into real estate investing through my great aunt and uncle, and they've always managed their own properties. I've heard you say you don't recommend doing that, and after seeing some of what they've gone through, I can see why. But I'm a little concerned about the additional expense of hiring someone. What's the typical monthly cost for having a property manager? What's good range? And is it really worth that additional expense? Thank you.
Thank you, Meredith in Kansas. Great question. You know, I'm a big advocate of property management because when you don't have property management, you're creating another job for yourself. And you have to ask yourself, what type of a life do you want? I mean, what we try to teach here on this channel is financial freedom, right? We want you to build passive income. We want you to build equity. We want you to build these performing assets. And why would you want to do all that if then you have to create another job for yourself and become a property manager? Look, to be a property manager and to do it correctly takes skill. It takes infrastructure. And it takes, you know, we won't hire a property manager unless they've had about 5 years experience in a market. We want to know that they've got great software where they communicate with the tenants. We want to know what their screening process looks like. You know, do they do criminal background checks? All of those things, right? What kind of systems do they have in place for handling maintenance requests? When a call comes in at 2 a.m. because of a leaky toilet or something, do you want that phone call? So, you know, just put that out of your brain right now. Like, if you're going to get into real estate investing and you want to do it correctly, think of it as a business, okay? You do not want to create another job for yourself and create another business. It is a business. And most people, when they get started, they think, oh, I can just manage this first property myself, right? It's just one property. Great. If you only ever want to own one rental property, then fine. Okay, if that's what you want to do, then fine. Manage the property yourself. But if you want to scale your investment portfolio over many years, then what's going to happen when you get that second, third, fourth, and fifth property, right? It's very alluring for you to have that very first rental property and to manage it yourself to save a few pennies. But you got to think long term, right? Now I'm going to add a second property. And it's very seductive for you to think, oh, I can manage that one too. And then you add a third. Oh, I can manage that one too, right? And now pretty much you've got three properties, four properties, and you're scaling this, and you've created another business for yourself. And sure, that first one might have gone swimmingly because you rented it out to a friend, right? And so they were always on time with their rent. Everything was easy. It was all great. It was peaches and cream. And then you get a bad tenant. Okay, then it spoils your entire taste for ever wanting to manage properties yourself ever again. So just don't do it. Just don't start out doing it. Don't cheapen out and just start to think that you're going to do this out of the gate. Just hand it over to a professional right away, okay? Now, your question about price range here. Like with the properties that we build at Morris Invest, and you can go to our website at Morris Invest, and right there on the front page, you can see the types of new construction properties that we build. Duplexes and single families. That's what we do for our clients. And the property manager is going to place a tenant in those properties. Okay. Now, the reason clients work with us is because the internal rate of return is specific. And we know going into it that the property management is going to cost anywhere between, you know, eight, usually for us around 8% or a little less, because we have long-term relationships with property managers. But if you do it yourself and you work with a property manager, you can expect anywhere between 8 to 12% is a good rule of thumb for property management. And it can actually go up if you're doing larger commercial properties. It can be a little higher. It can be lower. So in that range, though, is a good rule of thumb, 8 to 12%. I've owned properties all over the country. And in Pennsylvania, it was about 8% or 10%. In other areas, it was 12%. So that's a good rule of thumb. But that number should be absolutely figured into your internal rate of return based on how much you're financing the property for, what are you paying on property taxes, what will the rent be. All of those things are factored into your internal rate of return. So property management is figured into that number. So if you're getting a great return, then what do you care that a property manager is going to be taking 10% of that income? It's already figured into your number. You already know ahead of time that you're making an 18% return or a 22% internal rate of return. Like, we know that with our properties at Morris Invest, we know those numbers. We know that the internal rate of return on our properties that our clients buy is going to be between 18 and 22% at a minimum, 18% minimum. But we have those numbers figured based on property management, based on taxes, property taxes, all of those things, and the financing and the interest rates and everything. So all of those things are factored in to your overall numbers. So Meredith, don't be scared about this. Numbers don't lie. And don't be emotional about it. Managing properties yourself, I say, is just a huge mistake. It can cause so many headaches for you. And that's why you ever hear the saying, tired landlord? You know, if a young investor is just starting out, they tend to maybe buy a property from a 80-year-old tired landlord. Why are they tired? They're tired because they've been managing properties themselves, and they just don't want to do it anymore. You know, if these are hands-off passive income investments, then what are you tired about? What are you tired about? There's cash coming in every month, and you've got an amazing tax shelter. So you shouldn't be tired, and managing properties yourself will make you tired. Don't do it. All right, our next question comes to us from Max. Max, take it away.
Hi, Clint. Can you actually cover how to leverage equity in rental properties? I have a few rental properties, and I have some equity built into them, and I want to kind of learn more how I can use that equity to kind of expand my portfolio.
Yeah, Max, great question. And I'm glad you're thinking in this way. Obviously, it all comes down to loan to value ratio. Okay, so to calculate your average for a rental property, you're going to want to simply divide your investment property financing by the property value. Okay, and this is going to give you your loan to value ratio. Now, most banks will give you about 80 to 85% of the value of your property. And that means that, for instance, let's just, I wrote some back of the napkin numbers here. Let's say typically like 80, 85%. So for example, let's say you've got a $250,000 in equity in a particular property. Okay. Well, the lender is going to usually give you around 80% of that. So you'd get about $200,000. That's not chump change. That's fantastic, right? And what you want to do is, of course, you want to build up this equity. And one way that you do that is buy properties with low loan to value using bigger down payments. So when you're making bigger down payments, obviously you're building up that equity out of the gate, and then you're putting more money down. It's like having money in the bank, right? You're creating, you're not only paying down an amortized mortgage much more quickly. I've written a whole book on how to pay off your mortgage in 5 years. You can find it on Amazon. But you're also then putting money in the bank because now you have this additional equity that you can leverage in the form of a home equity line of credit to go out there and be able to buy additional rental properties. You know, you want to be able to use that net cash flow to be able to pay off your rental properties more quickly. So if you've got cash flow coming in and you don't need that cash flow right now for living expenses, you know, fire it right towards the principal balance of your mortgage. You're building up that equity. You're also paying your tenant is, you know, creating wealth for you by paying down your mortgage more quickly. And that's how you build up this equity. And so I want you to think about how you can tap into the current properties you have using different bank products. And I'm just going to tell you right away that you're going to have to shop around, Max. I mean, to find good banking products, you're going to have to shop around. Well, the bank down the street might tell you no, go across the street and they'll tell you yes. Again, I recommend, I've used them for years. They're not an affiliate of mine of any kind. You've heard me talk about them here on the show. I've had great success. And Natalie and I have bought multiple rental properties using them, so I can speak to their funding options. And they often will do really great home equity lines of credit at a lower level. And that is Flagstar Bank. I believe they're in all 50 states. So look up Flagstar Bank. We'll have a link in the description for you as well. I would say that's a great way to get started and to take out home equity lines of credit on your rental properties. And very often what you'll find, Max, is that these banks will also do a portfolio loan for you. So shop around with these different products. A home equity line of credit is my suggestion, not a cash out refinance. I've talked about that on other programs. You'll have to check that out. But cash out refinances, they're going to give you a check. And again, the clock starts ticking right then because they're handing you a check for the equity amount. And now that interest and what you have to pay back starts right now. Well, wouldn't it be great to get a zero balance in the form of a home equity line of credit? And you could use it over and over again for about 10 years. That's how home equity lines of credit usually work. It's a bank account. You start with zero. They give you checks. They give you a debit card. And you can utilize this thing to buy additional properties over and over and over again, rinse and repeat. I would talk to your bankers about doing a portfolio home equity line of credit. You'll find that that is available to some. I would recommend you could also look at some private lenders and some hard money lenders. We've used a direct lending partners in the past, DLP, and what they will do is extend a line of credit to you based on your assets, based on a number of your assets at one time. So they'll maybe pull all of these things together. They might extend to you like $1 million line of credit that you can use based on your assets. It's not on any one individually, but it's a portfolio and based on your own personal credit. They'll look at all of that and then extend to you a line of credit. Now, those can be a little tricky because they're going to want the paperwork for any time you buy a property. They're going to have to run it through their process, but that's okay. Like as long as you know, you're going to have to do a little legwork, do a little homework, do a little paperwork with them in order to make that purchase. It's not like you can just go out and willy-nilly use that $1 million line of credit. They're going to make sure that you send to them the address of the property you're going to buy. They're going to do an appraisal on it. They're going to make sure that, hey, they're extending this line of credit to you, but they also want to make sure that you're not burning them. So a couple of different options. A traditional bank down the street is what I would recommend to start. I would recommend reaching out to like a Flagstar Bank. That's definitely a choice I would go with. Look at a lot of your local banks. If you've got properties in a particular town that you live in that particular town, Max, with those properties, you're going to have greater success with the local banks in those towns because they know the area, they know the demographics, they know the vacancy rates, they know the crime rates, they know the schools, they know the taxes. You're going to have a better experience by working with your local banks than you ever are working with a national bank. I would say avoid national banks at all costs. Don't call Wells Fargo. Don't call Bank of America. Work with your local banks. And then if that doesn't work for you, after you've shopped around, then I would move on to maybe a hard money or private lender like a direct lending partners, DLP, and there's a bunch of them available and out there for you. So I hope you found that useful, Max, and hope somebody else listening may also have found that useful. All right, our next question comes to us from, man, my eyesight is getting bad. Maria, trying to read it on this small screen.
Good evening, Clayton. My name is Maria Cantu. I love your show. You guys are great. I had a question. I'm wondering if I should sell my home or, I'm sorry, actually turn it into a 1031 exchange. My house currently is valued at $254. I owe $104 on the property. Please let me know. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Maria. Great question. A 1031 exchange. We have a lot of great resources here on the channel about 1031 exchanges. We've interviewed a lot of great experts here on 1031 exchanges. But let me just give you I'll take it right from the IRS's website that I have in my notes here. And I'm going to read it verbatim so there's no confusion. Actually, I'll read it, which is probably confusing, from the IRS's website, and then I will parse it out. Under Section 1031 of the Internal Revenue Code, like-kind exchanges are when you exchange real property used for business or held as an investment solely for other business or investment property that is the same type or like kind. So you've been able to do this since 1921. You cannot downsize. You can only exchange for the same size or better. That means maybe you have $1 million property in California and you sell it, and you want to turn that $1 million investment property because the ROI is awful in California. So now you want to buy 10 single family homes with that $1 million, you know? And so that would be a like and kind. You're basically, now you're going to have a much greater bang for your buck because 10 properties producing cash flow instead of that one overly priced, low ROI, low return on investment property in California, as an example. So it sounds like you have some equity in this property. I would say, you know, I think you should absolutely take advantage of the 1031 exchange if it makes sense for you from an accounting perspective. Not always does this work out and make sense. So you want to basically understand, first of all, the eligibility of this property. You have to make sure that when you are making a purchase, it's got to be either the same or better than what you're currently selling as an investment. And you also have to initiate and go through the 1031 exchange process ahead of time. This is not something that you can do in arrears. You know, you can't make this purchase and do this closing on a property because you're not allowed to touch the money at all. It has to go through a custodian in the 1031 exchange process. You cannot be involved in pocketing any of the profits and proceeds. Otherwise, sorry, that's a failure. It has to go through the 1031 exchange process. If you do not follow the 1031 exchange process to the letter, you'll be liable for capital gains taxes, bottom line. So they have a very strict timeline that you need to follow. And I'm going to go through those timelines here because they can be a little confusing. And it's important to think about the time that it takes for you to find a new property. Remember, you have 45 days to identify that property. So you need to plan ahead. You have to find, because the IRS, it's kind of crazy, but they only allow you 45 days to identify a replacement property after, or when you're going through that process for one that was already sold. But in order to get the best price on a replacement property, experienced real estate investors don't wait until the property has been sold before they start hunting for another property. You have 45 days. That's a short window of after you've sold this investment property to find another one. You better have this one lined up ahead of time. And then I want you to, you want to time the sale of that home. So again, I come back to the properties that we sell at Morris Invest. We work with a lot of 1031 exchange program at our company. So we work with a lot of investors who use the 1031 exchange to sell an overpriced or bad property and then roll that property into a brand new investment property. So you have a 180-day window to purchase a replacement property after you have identified it. But you have to identify it. And that's where new construction really is powerful, because we know when those properties are coming off the finish line. We know when we'll be able to close on that new construction property. And so we know that within that 180 days that you can close on it, we have a date, we have a closing date, and you can plan on that. That's very, very important. And then also you've identified the property very quickly through our 1031 exchange program, so you don't have to worry about that 45-day window. So absolutely, you know, I would just consult with your accountant and make sure that the numbers make sense. Doing a 1031 exchange because you don't want to pay capital gains, it just might not make sense. It might be a lot of extra headache and pain for you if it doesn't make sense. There have been times when we've done a 1031 exchange, and then there have been other times where it just didn't make sense from a tax perspective for us to do it. So think about those things when you are going to explore a 1031 exchange. Definitely talk with your accountant. They know your personal finances better than I do. I am not an accountant, okay? This is not financial advice. Simply my advice to you is to speak with an accountant based on those tax ramifications and if it makes sense for you to file the paperwork on a 1031 exchange. But just remember, you have 45 days to identify a replacement property, and then you have 180 days to actually close on that particular property. But all of that must be identified and handed over to the government, because after all, you're not allowed to touch these profits and proceeds. And if you do, you're going to pay capital gains taxes on it. But I would, you know, have you go over to our website at Morris Invest, because we've got a lot of 1031 exchange blog posts and resources for you. Maria, go check it out at morrisinvest.com. All right, everyone. And while you're there at morrisinvest.com, there's a little microphone tab. Click on that and you can leave us a 30-second voicemail question about anything that you have on your mind, real estate related, equity, taxes, 1031 exchanges, all of those things. We will attempt to answer it here on the show. So again, I hope you guys are looking forward to a wonderful new year here in the next few days. I'm going to be off for a little bit celebrating my birthday on New Year's Eve. I can't believe I'm turning 45. Damn, 45. Yes, it's coming up. Midlife crisis? I don't know. Anyway, I hope you all have a wonderful new year, and let's get ready for a rockin' and rollin' 2022. Let's put these past two crappy years behind us, shall we? All right, until next time, everyone, go out there, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. Don't waste any more time. If you've been wasting time, get started in the year 2022 to really make a change in your life. All right, we'll see you next time, everyone.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.